I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. It's time for our Friday features. Barack Obama says he wants to find a new middle ground on divisive social issues like abortion. We're asking if that's possible. Last week, we heard from progressive evangelical leader, the Reverend Jim Wallis. Today, we'll hear from the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. That's our Faith Matters conversation, and that's in just a few minutes. But first, for our weekly political chat, a newsmaker interview with Congresswoman Barbara Lee of California. She is the chair of the Congressional Black Caucus. This week, senators are trying to cut billions from the Obama administration's economic stimulus plan in hopes of clearing the way for passage. The work comes amid a grim outlook for the economy. The House passed the version of the stimulus package last week. We want to talk about all of that with Congresswoman Lee. She's with us on the phone from a House Democrats retreat in Virginia. Congresswoman, thank you so much for joining us.
Good to be with you today.
I understand that the president actually came down and addressed the House Democrats at their retreat. What did he say?
Well, the president, in essence, talked about the desperate need, the urgent need to pass the economic recovery package. And he was very clear that he started out working in a bipartisan fashion because he was elected based on the concerns and the needs of the American people and the fact that the public, the people want change in our country. And they want to see some unity, and they're tired of the partisan bickering in Congress. And so he explained, you know, the fact that he wants to continue to work in a bipartisan way, but bottom line is he was elected to lead, and the economic recovery package that we passed from the House was a great package. He talked about the fact that it was balanced. He made sure it was balanced to ensure the Republicans had input into the tax piece and all of the other provisions. But that if we didn't do something right away, it's going to get much worse.
You voted in favor. Obviously, this is a huge package. The House version is $800 billion. Just briefly, if you would, just tell us what was most important about it to you? What made it worthy of your support? What do you think is most effective about this plan?
Well, it was, I think, a very balanced plan. It had the provisions for addressing the housing foreclosure crisis. It had workforce development training funds in there. You know, in many of our communities, people don't have the skills to get the jobs that we're going to create. And so this package, as it left the House, was broad enough to not only include the infrastructure funding and the resources to put people back to work on our roads and our bridges, but also to create green jobs, which are the jobs of the future, and the job training that's required to make sure that people are eligible and qualified for those jobs. In addition, we included, I believe it was $20 billion for food stamps. You can't tell me that people don't need to eat during this economic downturn. And we're seeing many, many middle-income people now who have lost their jobs desperate for food stamps. You have people are losing their health care. When they lose their jobs, they lose their health care. So we extended Medicaid to the states. So taken in balance with the tax cuts for small businesses, for low-income working individuals, I think it was a good vote. Some of us, in the spirit of bipartisanship, supported this bill to bring some unity and, you know, to work to make sure that the president's package passed.
Well, given that, I wanted to ask if you're very disappointed that the bill did not receive one Republican vote in the House. Are you disappointed by that, and why do you think that is?
I don't know. You know, you'd have to ask the Republicans why, but I am very disappointed. But what I saw, and I serve on the Appropriations Committee, and we had a 9-hour meeting where we look at the bill and we change the bill. We amend the bill. We include new ideas in the bill. And I watched our chairman negotiate with the Republicans and watch them get many of their amendments into the bill. Very few Democrats did that. This was a bipartisan bill. And for the life of me, I don't believe the Republicans in the Appropriations Committee, even if after they made some of their changes, voted for it, nor did they vote for it on the floor. So you'd have to ask them. But I believe that it's a very negative position to take because their constituents need these jobs too. Their constituents are suffering from the Bush administration's economic policies.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're speaking with Congresswoman Barbara Lee, a Democrat of California, about the economic stimulus package and other pressing issues. She is also the chair of the Congressional Black Caucus. Congresswoman, we spoke with a panel or roundtable of conservative thinkers earlier this week for a series we're calling The Loyal Opposition. We talked to a group of progressives the previous week, and this week we talked to a group of conservatives about what needs to happen now in the current sort of political environment. One of our guests, Matthew Continetti of the Weekly Standard, said that the Democrats haven't come to grips with the fact that they are now in charge. This is what he said.
You get the sense that for a lot of liberals, they haven't recognized that Republicans are no longer in power. They have to kind of reach this mental leap. They have to make this quantum leap and understand that they are now the governing party. They're the ones responsible. And basically, you know, the Republicans aren't of much use.
What about that, Congressman? Do you think that the Democrats in general and the Obama administration in particular are so focused on this bipartisan push that they're not perhaps as effective as they might be in setting a clear agenda?
I think just the opposite. When you look at what the president has accomplished in the last couple of weeks, just since he's been sworn in, he signed the pay equity bill, the Ledbetter bill, right away. He signed the children's health care bill, the SCHIP bill, to cover 11 million children. President Bush vetoed that bill 2 times. When you look at the president's executive orders to ban torture, to close Guantanamo, to repeal the terrible family planning denial that's called the global gag rule, the Mexico City language, that would now allow poor women in developing countries to receive federal funding for family planning services. When you see what he has done since he's been the president, it's amazing to me anyone could even say that, because I think that he is taking charge, but he also understands that the country wants to see some unity and some bipartisanship, and that's the only way that we can get the job done and change the direction of the country.
But on the subject of bipartisanship, though, you made headlines earlier this week, when you raised concerns about the president's nominee for Commerce Secretary, Republican Senator Jed Gregg of New Hampshire. Do you oppose his nomination, or are you just concerned about it?
We're concerned about his record in terms of the support for the Department of Commerce. As you know, the census is coming up, and he voted to oppose President Clinton's request for funding for the census. The census is very important because this determines the level of federal funding for schools, for community health care centers, and an undercount means that each individual, each district is denied $2,200 of funding for critical federal support throughout the country in congressional districts. And Senator Gregg, of course, has opposed it. So we're talking to him and we're working through these issues. And what we have done, which was the correct thing to do as the conscience of the Congress, which the Congressional Black Caucus is to raise these concerns. We've looked at his record and we're reviewing the last 10 years of his record. And we're putting forth the information so that the senators during the confirmation period, because, of course, we don't have any input as the House into confirmation, but we certainly can call to the attention a record that is of concern to many, many communities around the country. So we're not formally opposing him, but it's our duty and responsibility to raise an individual's record so that the Senate can scrutinize him and ask the hard questions. Because he's the president's appointee, and of course the Congressional Black Caucus, we support the president's agenda, and we want the president to be successful, and we want his appointees to be able to represent the departments and support all of the constituencies that must be supported. And so this is the right thing to do, and we're going to continue to look at his record and call it to the attention of the Senate.
Talk to me, if you would, in the couple of minutes we have left, though, about the Black Caucus and what its role is now. You mentioned that the caucus is known by some and sees itself as the conscience of the Congress. Many people wonder now, why is the conscience of the Congress race specific? How do you see the caucus's role at this historic point in our history, with an African-American president and with this focus, if you want to sort of call it that, an effort to, you even talked about this effort to overcome some of the divisions that we've been seeing in the past in this country.
And that's absolutely correct. The Congressional Black Caucus, we're celebrating our 40th year this year. It's more important more now than ever. And I'll give you an example. We all come to Congress with a base of, my district, for example, is not majority African-American. It's about 25% African-American. Other members of Congress have larger or fewer African Americans in their constituencies. But what we support, such as closing health care disparities, is good for America. What's good for the African American community, what's good for low-income communities of color, is good for our country. And so you have to, we're the conscience of the Congress because we raise issues that ordinarily wouldn't be raised. And again, health care disparities and the health care reform debate, when you look at the huge disparities in communities of color with regard to cardiovascular disease, diabetes, HIV, and AIDS, it's the Congressional Black Caucus. It's the Congressional Hispanic Caucus. It's the Congressional Asian Pacific American Caucus, which raises these issues to the attention of the country so that our agenda can be an inclusive agenda. If not, there so many constituencies would fall off of the radar. We're unified with our president. Our president was a member of the Congressional Black Caucus, and we recognize that he is the president, and we're working in concert with him to make sure that his agenda passes. And we have an agenda that, as the Congressional Black Caucus's agenda, that really is not only an agenda for the black community, but it's an agenda to make the entire country better. And so these caucuses are especially necessary now if we're going to have a unified and inclusive country that really does complete the unfinished business of America, which there remains much to do.
Congresswoman Barbara Lee represents California's 9th District. She's a Democrat. She is also chair of the Congressional Black Caucus. She was kind enough to join us on the line from the Democratic Caucus retreat in Virginia. Congresswoman, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you. Good being with you.